Tomorrow in the Gospel, Jesus will summarize his entire Sermon on the Mount. And not just his Sermon on the Mount, but all his preaching, saying, "The one who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like a man who has built his house on the rock. No matter what storms come, that house will remain because it's been built firmly on the rock. On the other hand, the one who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. When the floods came, the house collapsed because it was not firmly built." Today in the Gospel, when Mary is praised by that anonymous woman in the crowd for her physical relationship with Jesus, having borne him in her womb and breastfed him, Jesus says that the real reason for her beatitude is because she wasn't an idle listener of the Lord. She was one who heard the word of God so much that that word was literally able to take her flesh, because it had already taken her flesh. She had already incarnated the words of God such that she was a fitting instrument to incarnate the word made flesh. And that's the way it is with us. Many of us hear the word of God, but we don't really enflesh it. We don't really act on it the way the Lord wants. We might be able to go even onto a Jeopardy contest and get all the categories on biblical trivia. We may know all of salvation history. We may be able to cite scripture and verse. But the question is always whether we act on it. I remember when I was younger in college, I was on fire for learning the faith. I was spending a lot of time reading books on sacred scripture, reading books on the lives of the saints. There was one series I was using, which I recommend to all my spiritual directees to this day, which is Father Fernandez Carbajal's In Conversation with God, which has a 15-minute reflection for every day of the year. And there were lots of days when Father Carbajal's reflection left me unsatisfied. Because when I was reading it, most of the time it would relate to the gospel. But when I was reading it, if I didn't learn anything new, if Father Carbajal hadn't given me in those 15 minutes a new insight, I felt starved. And I didn't realize until I got much later that that wasn't Father Carbajal's purpose in writing In Conversation with God. It was not to show how brilliant he was, how he was able to see things in the gospel that at first, second, third, or 20th read, we weren't able to get. Father Carbajal's purpose was precisely to help us to take the word of God and make it alive, make it practical. And that's what I was missing. Yes, with a good memory, I knew what Jesus had said. Yes, with a good memory, I knew what a lot of the fathers of the church had commented on that particular reading. But the question was, I wasn't living it. St. James, in his letter, says about this hearing the word of God and putting it into practice, building our life on the rock of Jesus' words by hearing it and living it. He says that the idle listeners are like those who, having heard the word of God, immediately forget about it. They go in front of a mirror for a second, and then when they leave the mirror, they forget what they look like. What's he mean by that? The word of God gives us an image of who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to look before ourselves, before God, before others. And when we read the word of God but don't act on it, it's like we've just left a mirror and forget who we really are. So this weekend, as we prepare for Jesus' dramatic conclusion to a Sermon on the Mount, marching orders for all of us who call ourselves his disciples, we're called to look anew, not just at whether we know the word of God, but whether others, in looking at us, might learn the word of God simply by observing our conduct. We're all, as Pope Benedict describes in his apostolic exhortation on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church, which he put out November 11th. We're all supposed to be living exegetes, living interpreters of the Word of God for others, that for someone to understand what the Word of God is, they don't need to read the Bible necessarily cover for cover. They just need really to look at us, because we will have learned the Word of God in such a way, and with God the Holy Spirit's help, acted on the Word of God in such a way, that to see the real message, the real content of the Bible, they just need to observe us. In our case, let's be honest, a lot of us are broken mirrors, just a whole bunch of shards of glass. We're not giving off that type of clear message for two reasons. First reason is because we don't really listen to the Word of God attentively enough so that it'll change our life and thoroughly revolutionize our conduct every time we hear it. And then second, we're not working to act on it as the Lord wants. A couple of weeks ago at Mass, I did a little test, which I always do in convents. I asked if the Word of God is really that important. Can you tell me what yesterday's responsorial psalm was? Then I asked, could you tell me what today's responsorial psalm was? And nobody, again, it's not necessarily that we've got to have razor trap memories, but nobody really was able to tell me. And the reason is because we don't listen to the Word of God the way we ought to. For example, if I were to tell you that there is $1 billion in gold buried somewhere on church property, and I'm going to tell you 18 clues how to find it. Right now, here we go. 1, 2, 3. If you were hungry for that money, you would do everything you can assiduously to be on the edge of your seat, trying to get out little scraps of paper, trying to find a pen in a pocketbook or in a coat pocket in order to be able to write down these steps so that you could remember those directions as carefully as possible and then follow. That's the way we're supposed to listen to the Word of God. As much as a greedy person seeking gold would list and follow all those directions and then try to say, okay, I got to find those clues and I got to go there and I got to go here. That's the way we must respond to the pearls of the Word of God. But most of us don't listen to the Word of God that way. We don't read the Word of God enough so that those words literally can start to give us the path of our life. And then we don't make it practical enough by immediately saying, how is this word supposed to be lived by me today? So for example, let's just take today's short gospel. There are many resolutions that we should make. And also we'll be talking about it Lent as we begin on Wednesday. There is a Pacific Ocean of difference between a wish and a resolution. A wish is, I'd like to be more like our Blessed Lady. I'd like to be praised by God the way she was praised within that group of people who hear the Word of God and put it into practice. I want to be one of them. That's a wish. A resolution is, I am immediately going to spend from this point forward in my life at least 10 minutes a day reading the Holy Word of God. And at the end of every 10 minutes, I'm going to make one resolution about how I'm going to live that word. And today's resolution for me is, I am going to focus specifically on putting into practice what Jesus says to me today. And throughout that day, I am going to come back to it almost as a particular resolution, as a particular examination of conscience point, excuse me, how I have been doing on that point up until now. Have I been listening to the Word of God speaking to me in the events of the day? Has anybody been able to notice a difference in me because I attended Mass today and I heard God's word and I'm trying to live it? Or am I behaving today just like I behaved yesterday or the day before? And at the end of the day, as I examine my conscience before I go to bed, that is going to be one of the points. I'm going to recall what the word of God I heard today was, read, and I'm going to recall what my particular examine point was. I'm going to evaluate my day on whether I lived it. And then I'm going to evaluate whether I lived yesterday's resolution from the word of God and the day before yesterday's, and especially Sunday's. That's a resolution. That's a means by which the word of God will be able to hit good soil and bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. So we come forward to this Mass as Jesus is going to implant himself, the Word made flesh, within our mouths, within our souls, within our lives. Let's give him total permission to allow that word to expand as we build our life on him.